Hello, cousin. Welcome to Coco Conjure. Here we talk about all things hoodoo, folklore, and spiritual journeys. My goal is to give foundation to the novice and inspiration to the advanced practitioner. If you have not guessed already, my name is Coco. I mean, my name is not legally Coco, but you can call me Coco. It's the fourth episode of the month, so you know what that means, guys. It's a folklore episode. Woo! I love a good folklore episode. Last month, I gave you all an original tale about Ro and her introduction to one of the first universal spirits we all come across, which is the Crossroads King. That had great reception, and I thank everyone who tuned in, listened, left a like, left a comment. Thank you guys so much for that. It was an original. I wrote it, so any feedback, I was grateful to just have. Thank you so much. We will have more time with Ro next week, but this week, right now, I thought we would go back to the first Black American folklore book I was introduced to. So we are going to dive into some animal tales from this book called American Negro Folktales, collected by Richard M. Dorson. Now, if you are new here, and there is quite a few of you who are new, let me catch you up on Dorson, all right? So things you need to know. Number one, Dorson, Richard M. Dorson, was a white guy. Yep. He taught folklore and history at Indiana University long before you or your mama or your daddy or your grandmama were even thought about. Before they were conceived, before, you know, we were formed on this earth. Okay, so it was a long time ago. While compiling American Negro Folktales, he sought to answer a really simple question. The question being, did the stories and superstitions follow, I'm going to say Black folks, he would probably say Negroes. Did they follow the Negroes as they resettled around America, especially in the Midwest, post-slavery, or has the born free generation lost touch with old cultural roots, right? So in order to do this, Dorson went where the Black people were. He went in the Midwest and in the West. He talked to them and he wrote down any of the stories they were willing to share. Very much like Zora Neale Hurston did as she traveled around the American South. The only difference being that Dorson did not try to capture the accents through spelling and grammar. So it's word for word what they said, but he wrote it down in like basic English as you would read a regular book. He did not try to capture the rhythms of how they spoke, like the artistry of the voices themselves. Okay. So usually when I tell you all a story, I have a theme, and I told you guys this theme's episode is animals, as animal tales. One thing for sure and two things for certain, Dorson collected a fair amount of animal tales, so much so that these tales are like the first section in his book. If you have Black people telling you stories, they're going to tell you folklore that are animal tales. It's probably like if you had to make categories in Black American folklore or Black American folktales, it would be like John stories, religious stories, animal stories, right? Like it's just, it's up there, right? Usually in animal tales, you get Br'er Rabbit, Brother Bear, or Brother Vulture getting up to some sort of shenanigans. Think of a classic story like the Tar Baby, all right? If you have not heard the Tar Baby, I encourage you to go back to episode 12, because the Tar Baby is a classic one. I encourage you to go back to episode 12, which is titled Counting Souls and Other Tales. They're always called Other Tales, but this one is called Counting Souls. But don't go back yet, cousin. Instead, I want you to get comfortable. Light up a blunt or keep your eyes on the road. Don't do both. As I tell you the tale, The Fox and the Rabbit in the Well, which is tale number 16 from Dorson's book, American Negro Folktales. Take a listen and we will talk about it on the other side. The fox was after the rabbit to eat him. So Brer Fox was about to catch Brother Rabbit. There was a well down in the flat between the two hills. It had two water buckets, one on each end of the rope. When you let one down, you'd be pulling one bucket of water up. Brother Rabbit, he jumped in the bucket that was up and woof, down he went. The other bucket come up though. Now the moon was shining right into the well. It looked like a round hoop of cheese. Brer Rabbit didn't know how he was going to get back up after he was down there. So he commences to hollering for Mr. Fox to come here quick. Mr. Fox goes up to the well and look down in there and says, "What you want, Brother Rabbit?" And Rabbit said, "You see this big old hoop of cheese I got down here? Man, it sure is good." Brother Fox says, "How did you even get down there?" Brer Rabbit says, "Get in that bucket up there. That's the way I come down." So Brother Fox jumped into the bucket that was up. And Brother Rabbit jumped into the one that was down. And down goes Mr. Fox. And up comes Brother Rabbit. And as Brer Rabbit passed Brer Fox, he said, "Hey, Brother Fox, this the way the world goes. Some going and some coming." My sister been watching round that well and she left a bar of soap. I stepped on it and I skated on back home. Okay. Let me tell you, I love rabbit stories. Usually the rabbit is a menace. just a menace. Brer Rabbit is a freaking menace. So we always try to take something from the folklore we read. I think another folklorist, Daryl Cumberdance, she said that in the stories that we read, yes, they're very entertaining. This one was very entertaining, but they also hold, you know, wisdom, cultural significance, things we should think about. So I always try to just get a takeaway, a small takeaway from whatever story we read, even one as ridiculous as this one. And let me tell you, Brother Rabbit was an asshole. That was an asshole move. He could have just got in the bucket and asked the fox to like use the pulley to pull him up. He didn't have to trick the man into the well. But also, I guess it should be said that the fox was going to eat him. He was going to eat the rabbit. So I guess, you know, Rabbit was like, "Let me get out of two sticky situations," right? Okay, so my big takeaway from this, besides what I just talked about, but my biggest takeaway from this is it's very important to know whether you're coming or going, right? Sometimes we get into situations and we get so focused on, you know, desire, a want, that we just don't know whether we coming or going, right? We don't know what's good for us and what's not. So always know if you're coming or going. That's how the world works. I think Brother Rabbit was right. You either coming or you going. Make sure you know which one you are. So the next story I'm going to read to you is story number 18. It's called there's two titles here. Okay, so it has an overarching, like, categorical title, which is King Beast of the Forest Meets Man, okay? And then within that section, you get all sorts of animal tales, the lion and the rabbit, the bear and the rabbit, the alligator, the whale, and the colored man, which, the alligator, the whale, and the colored man is wild, but maybe perhaps... not what I want to read today. Instead, I'm going to read The Bear and the Rabbit. We're going to stick to the rabbit today, and we're going to read The Bear and the Rabbit. Hold on. Well, let's hold on. The Alligator, the Whale, and the Colored Man. You know what? I'm going to go ahead and read The Alligator, the Whale, and the Colored Man because, guys, it's okay. I'm going to read it, and you'll see why. All right. Here it is. This is actually 18D, The Alligator, the Whale, and the Colored Man. The whale had never seen a man before. So Alligator was going to show him a man, but not just any kind of man. He was going to show him a colored man. He said that, and this is a direct quote, so listen carefully. The alligator said that the colored man is a bitch with his ass. So the first thing they saw was a have-been, an old man fishing on the bank. They swam on down the lake, and the next thing they saw was a little boy. And the whale asks the alligator, "Is that a man?" And the alligator says, nah, that's going to be a man. So the alligator and the whale, they swim on down a little further. And finally, guys, they saw a man. He was on the back end of the boat. And the gas tank had just busted out on the boat. And the man was fitting to smoke. He took out a match, scratched his ass, and lit the cigarette. Well, the whale, he swam on back, and the alligator began to tackle the man in the boat. And the man, oh, child, the man threw the match in the water. And it blew up the gas and knocked the whale clean out the water. The whale, he composes himself and he gets himself back in the water. And he goes to meet up with Brother Alligator and he tells him, Man is a bitch. He reached up in his pocket and got him a cigarette, which you call thunder, and reached up in the pocket and got him a match, which you call lightning, and he rubbed it against his ass and threw it in the water and set my whole world on fire. That bitch ass man. I don't know why I didn't want to read that one at first. I do know why. I annotate my books when I read. I would like to hope I'm not the only person, but like I like to be in conversation with whatever I'm reading. And for that story in particular, because of the way Dorson captured it, it's written in a very incoherent way. Like when the person told the story, it was very incoherent. So, I mean, you had to kind of draw the pieces together. So I read it to you in the way that I annotated it. So that way things made sense in the story. And typically I don't try to pick those stories. Typically I try to pick the ones where I don't have to move things around. So that way the story makes sense. But like if that ain't a perfect snapshot of what's going on right now in our country, I don't know what is. Right? Like, dude was leaking fuel, had a whale and an alligator swimming up to him. Like, you can't, how he missed the fuel and two predators. Right? Like, and without caring how the world around him would be affected, he struck that match and set the entire ecosystem on fire. Even with an alligator wrestling him, trying to stop him from being stupid, he still fucked everyone's everything just completely up. You know, it's bitch ass. It was a bitch ass thing to do. And it just conjures to mind these tales of woe and regret that people are having right now in the U.S. Now that we're in, you know, Trump era version 2 and we're in the fuck around and find out portion of the program. A husband voted for a president that promised to deport as many people as possible, to weed out anyone who was not basically born here. Right? Even if they're here legally, if they weren't born here, then they don't belong here, is basically his platform. And then the husband gets super surprised when ICE shows up at his front door and says, "Hey, we're looking for your wife because, you know, she an immigrant and she got the wrong kind of immigration." Right? Like, she's the wrong kind of immigrant, so we're going to take her away. Like, you know what I mean? Like, what did he think was going to happen? Or child, the farmers. Oh, baby. Them farmers out in middle of America were so worried about, you know, fictional Shanquanetta Bonquita and her 9 children from her 12 baby daddies taking advantage of government assistance, you know, living off of it, having one baby after another so she can live off of, you know, their hard-earned dollars. So they vote for a president who promises government efficiency. They vote. They literally voted to take food out of babies' mouths because they don't agree with a lifestyle that is A, very fictional, that not a lot of people on government assistance live that way. And B, it's a lifestyle they don't understand because they're in the middle of America. They're not living in, you know, high interest rate, high rent. You know what I mean? Like eggs is $800 urban areas. Like they don't get it, you know? And then that same farmer is on TikTok crying the blues because the government pulled funding for his farm. Like, he's crashing out because he didn't realize until that executive order was signed that government assistance, you know, is everywhere. It's penetrated the entirety of our country. And them checks he was cashing from Uncle Sam are actually handouts, just like SNAP and WIC and whatever else, you know, he thought was getting canceled. You know what I mean? Like whatever else he thought was being he was opposed to. And the worst part of all of this, I think, is students' funding is slashed. People are being, you know, deported to labor camps in countries that they've never even been to before. Like a fair number of people in this country decided to light a match in oil slick water, right? And they are blowing themselves up and taking the rest of us with them, you know? And even on a micro level, you know, I know you can name at least one person who is a goddamn nigga. I'm not talking black. I'm talking they just a nigga. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like they cut corners. They trying to get rich quick. Won't take responsibility for their actions or their attitudes or how they interact with other people. And just they bring everybody else down around them by simply walking into the room. Like they stink meaner from the Boondocks. Him and his whole crew. You know what I mean? You probably named at least two people just me talking about it just now. You conjured two people to your mind just now. I know it. I know you did. You know? Me and Big Sis, we have a term for this. We have a term for people who behave that way. We say, you know, it's just niggas niggering. it's just niggas niggering. The person don't even got to be black for us to say it. They could be a purple Martian. And if they behave like that, they're selfish, unaware of how they impact those around them, carry on like only their emotion, only their wellness actually matters. Or, child, worst of all, they're crabs in a barrel, pulling other people down so they can't escape to, you know, so other people can't escape to freedom, can't get what they need to survive. Then they're niggas. And niggas niggering is the worst part of being on this earth. It's just the worst part. You feel what I'm saying? So, oh God, that was a full rant. I'm so sorry. I cannot believe I wasn't going to read that story, but it just, I don't know. A lot of the stories in section 18 of Dorson's book, they all share a similar theme, but I think the whale, the alligator, and the colored man, I think it really hits it on the head. Two sentences in, and it really hit that theme of niggas niggering right on the head. You feel what I'm saying? So my takeaway is don't go looking for trouble, because the alligator knew off the jump that man was a bitch ass man. Like he knew it. He already knew. He went looking for it. You understand what I'm saying? And then second is don't be a bitch ass nigga who's always niggering with a funky ass, selfish ass attitude, who is willing to screw everyone else over just because you want to feed your desires or get rich quick or punish someone because of some imagined slight, even if that means you're about to screw yourself over in the process. Don't do it, cousin. We don't have to live like that. All right. Shout. Our final story is called, it's number 19. So it's right after we get through niggas niggering. Our final story is number 19, The Rat and the Whiskey. This one was told to Dorson by Beulah Tate. I don't think I've ever read a Beulah Tate story on here before. I'm gonna read it to you. This was a fun one. It's real short. I'll read it to you and then I'll see you on the other side. The rat fell in a barrel of whiskey, and when the cat come by, he asked him, "Please help me out." And the cat said, "Will you let me eat you if I help you out?" And the rat said, "Sure." The cat pulls the rat out, and the rat says, "Please, just let me dry off by the fire before you eat me. I won't eat good if I'm still wet." The cat sets him by the fire and puts his paw on him and then turns him over to dry. But the cat falls asleep by the fire, and the rat, he's near his hole and he runs for it. He runs right into it. The cat wakes up and sees that the rat's gone and says, "Mr. Cat, didn't you promise you let me eat you?" And the rat says, "Don't you know a man will say anything when he's in his whiskey?" Okay, so that was a short and sweet one. And one of my, honestly, one of my favorite ones. I mean, next to the whale, the alligator, and the colored man. That one's one of my favorite ones. I think it's such a simple story with such a simple takeaway, I think, you know? Like, when people are not themselves, you can't trust what they say. When people drink a lot, when they're smoking, you know, a lot, when when they need something, right? You can't always trust what they say. But especially when their mind is altered, you can't hold them to promises made, you know, when their mind is altered. My mom has this saying. She always says, know your family and act accordingly, you know? So like, there are full family members that I have that I just don't, I don't talk to. I know that sounds horrible, but there's full family members I don't talk to because I know that, you know, if their mouth is moving, then they lying. You feel what I'm saying? Like, they will say whatever it takes at any given time, whether they want something or not, you know? So yeah, biggest takeaway is know your family and act accordingly. Know who you're speaking to, understand what they want from you. And then don't be so shocked or surprised if, you know, they say something that they don't mean. People do it all the time. All right. So we've reached the part of the podcast where I scour the internet and try to find a question or two and answer it as best as I can. So this week's question this one is surrounding the spring equinox. If you are listening to this, we are officially in spring. If you listen to this, I should say when it releases, or maybe even a month or two afterward, we are officially in the spring season. And the equinox, I consider the winter solstice the new year, because technically speaking, that's when the sun is making its return, right? We're starting the cycle all over again. But a lot of people in witchy, pagan, and now I'm finding even in hoodoo spaces, praise whoever, are also seeing that the solar rhythm is very important. So they think that the spring equinox is the new year, and I respect that. I feel that's a good thing. It's only a good thing. So this question is coming from Facebook. It says, "What rituals are you performing for spring equinox?" All right. So last episode, towards the end, I gave a full breakdown of things you can do during this, but I never said what I was doing, right? So first thing I did was clean my house. I know that that's normally something that we do for the new year, but again, when you're right in the solar rhythm and not necessarily the calendar, that's what you do. You shift traditions around a little. So I did. I cleaned my house top to bottom, walls to carpet. I flipped my couch over, shook out the rugs. Like, I did the whole thing. Spring cleaned, baby. Opened up them windows, got some fresh air in. I sprinkled prosperity and peace powder on my doormat. I live in a apartment, so I don't have a front porch to sweep. So I sprinkled that, you know, on my doormat, and I sprinkled it at the front of the door too, like the door leading into my building. So whoever steps in that powder, they about to feel real. Everybody in my building about to get some prosperity and peace in their life. Because I definitely did sweep it into the building. I swept it into my apartment specifically. It's a powder, so people are going to be walking on it. You get what I'm saying. I refreshed and renewed my money pot. I lit a candle for that, incense, you know, did the whole thing, got my bank dirt, the whole deal. I have a little area where I have a peace candle that I got from a local Botanica. I think they had overstock inventory, and they were doing like a little sale. So I picked up a peace candle. I have that lit with appropriate like water and appropriate icons around that really reflect my own personal practice, not necessarily a hoodoo one. My ancestor altar is refreshed. I left water. I had black eyed peas, collards, turkey, like the whole smoked turkey. And I ate that meal in their honor. I left water, coffee, blew some tobacco over the altar, you know, spent some time there. And then my main altar, like my working table where I do a lot of my work, the one that the landscape changes, that one actually has a white and black candle that I prepped. Symbolizes, you know, the equal time of day and night moving forward. Well, for that day, and then the day getting longer as we move forward. I have like calendula in there, angelica, hyssop. Like I've got a nice blend of things that that represent the season and the spirits I feel are attached to the season. I think most importantly, I swept my house from front to back. I swept my balcony because, you know, that's another access point outside. So I got all that cleaned up and ready to go. And I think more important than anything, I smoked my house out. I had to take my cat into the car so she didn't die of asphyxiation. But I smoked my whole apartment out with a blend that I created specifically for the equinox. And it feels fresh. It feels light. My neighbor had just knocked on my door, I want to say like an hour or two before filming this. And she was like, "Hey, I got a package that's coming, but I'm going out of town. Do you mind, you know, taking the package in with you? Blah, blah, blah." And she didn't come inside, which, it's kind of funny because I marked my doors and my windows as well with water, and I did a home blessing. So she didn't come inside, but she like looked in and she was like, "It feels really good in there." Your apartment is so cute, and it feels good. Like even just standing here, it feels real good. Thank you, sis. You know, thanks, cousin. I appreciate you feeling my vibe, you know, like, yeah, we feeling good around here. But yeah, that's from smoking out the place. Whatever was lingering in the winter, whatever I was holding on to, whatever seeped into these walls, baby, I cleared that mother out. I cleared it out, and invited peace and prosperity in. And I did a home blessing, and I marked my doors. My home blessing is not very hard at all. It has a lot to do with the clearance of things. It's something I did when I first moved in. I swept, I smoked, and then I blessed the house. And it's something that I refresh every spring equinox. Another thing I did was I refreshed the money bowl, cleaned my house, made the, you know, some traditional foods. Oh, I refreshed, renewed, whatever you want to call. I did it to my mojo, a mojo that I carry with me all the time. I did that as well. I tend to do that on equinoxes because I know that, you know, twice a year it's done, or I'll create a new one, you know. So that's what I did. I also, and a lot of people don't think about this, but I also sat down with a book, with my, you know, with my folklore, with my spicy romances, and I just sat on my front porch and I read. just allowed myself to enjoy a moment, you know? That's also very important to do. So, whether you're listening to this months from now or you're listening to this, day of release, hey, I hope you had a great spring equinox. Know that the equinox is just one day, but it heralds the coming of a season. So we can clear out as much as we want and just go outside. It's time to go outside, and that's the most important part. Okay, and lastly, I found, it's not a question, it's just like some words of encouragement. It says, if you don't feel like magic, you're not there yet. Keep going, keep doing your rituals, keep working them herbs and candles, keep doing the energy shifts. And let me tell you, I feel like that's so true, especially like we talked about with the whale, the alligator, and the colored man, especially right now where it feels like our world is just it's a weird place, right? Like we're always going through something. Collectively, there's always some sort of struggle of ideology. But right now, I feel like what's happening? Like it doesn't even feel real. I disengage sometimes and I just focus on keeping myself spiritually buoyant. And I feel like that's good words to live by. If you don't feel like magic, you're just not there yet. Keep going, keep doing your rituals, keep working them herbs and candles, keep doing the energy shifts. You'll find that what feels like magic and what is magic is not necessarily the same thing. And as long as it's keeping you spiritually buoyant, then it's a good thing for you. Right? As long as it's keeping you going, as long as it's bringing you, a full cup, it's bringing you peace, it's providing you with an outlet to process things, it's leading you down a road of prosperity and wealth and wholeness and wellness, then that's a good thing. But you can't expect that to happen overnight. You know, it takes time to cultivate a functional spiritual practice, and one that, it takes even longer, really, to get over the idea of like, maybe I'm not doing it right, or maybe I should do it this way. You know, just keep going. Keep going. Do what's good for you. You know, root yourself in foundations. My foundations is hoodoo. Obviously, if you're listening, your foundations are probably hoodoo as well. Root yourself in those foundations. And I promise you that it'll feel good again. You can walk through the earth, even through the craziest, nonsense that's occurring, and be like, this is some nigga shit. Some niggas are niggering right now, but I don't have to give in. I don't have to participate. You know, I'm a shield myself. I'm a call my blessings to me and I'm a move on. You feel what I'm saying? So, if you don't feel like magic, you're just not there yet. Keep going. Keep doing your rituals. Keep working them herbs and candles and keep doing those energy shifts for sure. For sure. Okay, cousin, we've made it to the end of the podcast. Thank you so much for staying with me. I appreciate you for listening in, for coming back week after week. For if this is the first time you've ever met me, hey, thanks for stopping by. Thanks for hanging out with me. This podcast gives me so much joy, and it's my hope that I'm also spreading that joy to others. Before we get out of here, cousin, I want to let you know that you deserve the world. All right. That as we go into this new season, we are looking forward to all the blessings and love and joy and prosperity and peace that going outside, engaging with the world can bring us. All right. That we don't have to participate in the nonsense and the tomfoolery. We know our family. We know our friends. We know how these people are. And we act accordingly in order to protect our peace. Right? In order to make sure our blessings find us. Because cousin, when you call for your blessings, they will come to you. I'll see you guys next time.